From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other soft information as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news for the headlines. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi conveys three main issues in Asian ministerial meeting. The U.S. to continue improving defense strategic relation with India under Biden. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo bestowed national hero titles on six different figures from the State Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday, following the issuance of Presidential Decree No. 117, TK of 2020, effective November 6. The six figures comprise the late Sultan Ba'abullah from North Maluku Province, the late Mahmud Singirai Rumagesan from West Papua, and Jakarta's late retired Police General Raden Said Sukanto Cokrodiatmojo, North Sulawesi's late Arnold Mononutu, North Sumatra's late Sultan Muhammad Amin Nasution, and the late Raden Matahir bin Pangeran Kusen bin Adi, a figure from Jambi Province, were also awarded the title of National Heroes. According to the Presidential's decree, those whose names are attached in the annex are hereby conferred the title of National Hero as a high honor and respect for their outstanding services, who during their lifetime led and carried out armed struggles or political struggles or struggles in other fields to achieve, seize, defend, and feel independence and materializing the unity and integrity of the nations. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi conveyed three main issues in the Asian Ministerial Meeting, AMM, in a virtual media briefing Tuesday. Minister Retno Marsudi conveyed that the first issue she addressed at the meeting was Indonesia and ASEAN are ready to work together to strengthen partnership with America in the future. The minister explained that the partnership must be based on several principles.
Kemitraan yang didasari tentunya oleh prinsip kesetaraan.
This partnership is based on the principles of equality, mutual respect, and mutual benefit. The partnership we want is, of course, a partnership that upholds the principles and values of multilateralism, respect sovereignty and territorial integrity, as well as international law.
Dan juga penghormatan terhadap hukum internasional.
Minister Retno Marsudi also said Indonesia hopes that America can be a positive power for peace, stability, and prosperity in the region, and becomes Asian partnerships in implementing the Asian outlook on the Indo-Pacific. The second issue raised was the hope that the South China Sea will always be a peaceful and stable issue. According to Minister, this will be realized if all countries respect international law, including the 1982 UN clause. The third issue conveyed was the importance of the principle of Asian centrality in Indonesia's partnership with Asian dialogue partners, especially in a very dynamic geopolitical situation in the region. At least 155 Indonesian seafarers and the bodies of two sailors who died while working on board Chinese fishing vessels have been repatriated through the Bitung port in North Sulawesi Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said. The minister told journalists in Jakarta on Tuesday that the two ships, Longshin 601 and Longshin 610, ferried the sailors who were employed with 12 Chinese fishing vessels back to Indonesia. Conducting the repatriation of Indonesian seafarers by sea is the first time for Indonesia in China. Minister Retno added that the Indonesian government will continue to defend the legal rights of Indonesian seafarers through the mutual legal assistance patch signed by the two countries. The minister also provided information about the repatriation of 13 Indonesian sailors stranded in Senegal. The sailors were repatriated by air from the West African country on Tuesday. Their return was part of the repatriation of 88 sailors to Indonesia from Senegal, thanks to the Indonesian Embassy in Dakar's cooperation with the governments of Senegal. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. India and the United States will continue improving strategic and defense relations under the Democratic administration of Joe Biden, while some unresolved trade issues are likely to persist, wrote Binder Sajj Dev, the president of New Delhi-based Imagine India Institute think tank, has told Sputnik. Biden presidency will continue to see the upswing in U.S.-India relations. The trend lines in defense and strategic relations will continue and the engagement will get wider and deeper. According to the expert, New Delhi and Washington will strengthen their partnership in other areas such as climate change, migration, and counterterrorism. India and the United States have been deepening their defense partnership over the years amid the rise of China's influence in the Indo-Pacific region. The Trump administration had friendly relations with the current Indian government, while his predecessor Barack Obama's White House, where Biden served as the vice president, also followed a path of rapprochement. The world needs a global arms controls regime that would reflect the multipolar order and include China, NATO Chief Jens Stoltenberg said on Tuesday. Stoltenberg told the Alliance Arms Control video conference that he welcomes a dialogue between the US and Russia to find a way forward in arms control. The world must develop a global nuclear arms control regime suited to be multipolar world, a regime that takes into account the rise of China as a global power with a large military and growing nuclear arsenal. China has a responsibility to engage openly and constructively in arms control negotiation. Stoltenberg noted that Beijing has so far regrettably refused to join any such talks, though the lack of transparency on its nuclear capabilities and intentions are concerning. The NATO chief expressed confidence that the global arms control regime would benefit both China and the rest of the world. The Independent Panel for Pandemic Preparedness and Response, IPPR, established by the World Health Organization, WHO, urged governments across the world to share experience and ideas on the effective fight against COVID-19. Helen Clark, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand and IPPR co-chair, told the reconvened World Health Assembly on Tuesday. According to Clark, the top priority for IPPR now is to establish an accurate and authoritative chronology of epidemiological alert and response events related to COVID-19. Clark further said that varying social, economic, political contexts means that one-size-fits-all approach to the pandemic of the national level is unlikely to be appropriate. But IPPR believes that countries find it useful to share experiences and to consider policy alternatives and solutions developed by others and to calibrate them according to their domestic circumstances and resources. Hundreds of Russian peacekeepers were deploying to Nagorno-Karabakh on Tuesday after Armenia and Azerbaijan agreed to a peace deal to an end weeks of fierce fighting over the disputed region. The Moscow brokered agreement, which saw a ceasefire take effect at 1 a.m. local time, came after a string of Azerbaijani victories in its fight to retake the ethnic Armenian enclave. It sparked celebration in Azerbaijan but fury in Armenia, where protesters took the street to denounce the country's leadership for losses in the territory, which broke from Azerbaijan control during a war in the early 90s. Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan, Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev, and Russian President Vladimir Putin announced the deal in the early hours on Tuesday. Its forces will retain control over areas seized in the fighting, including the key town of Shusha, while Armenia agreed to a timetable to withdraw from large parts of Nagorno-Karabakh. A Russian force of 1,960 military personnel and 90 armored personnel carriers will deploy to the region as peacekeepers for a renewable 5-year mission. The conflict over the territory erupted into fresh fighting in late September. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Joe Biden becomes president and U.S. political changes. United States presidential election has ended and escorted Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to the White House in Washington. Through a fierce battle, Joe Biden outperformed the incumbent Donald Trump by a significant victory in electoral votes. A number of country leaders in various regions of the world welcomed the provisional results of the United States election by congratulating Joe Biden as the president-elect. For the Asian region, India was the first to welcome the election result. The Indian Prime Minister called it a form of the success of U.S. immigrants from India. The mother of Vice President-elect Kamala Harris is indeed from India. In her victory speech, Kamala Harris mentioned that the trust of most of the people of the United States to elect Joe Biden and herself as president and vice president is an inspiration for America, especially the women. Kamala Harris is a woman of American immigrant descent who became the first vice president of the United States. Amid the euphoria and celebration on the victory, until Wednesday, November 11th, Donald Trump has yet to congratulate Joe Biden. His campaign team continues to argue that the Trump camp does not recognize Joe Biden's victory and is still determined to file a lawsuit, even to the Supreme Court. What Donald Trump has done with the election process and result is considered a negative phenomenon of democracy. In the big country, which is often cited as an example of the implementation of democracy for others. Congratulating the winners is a noble tradition of democracy in the U.S. The very significant number of electoral votes and people's vote does not make Donald Trump change his attitude, let alone declare that he will soon leave the White House. History records that in the 2000 election, the total votes between Al Gore and George Bush was only slightly different, about 2,000 votes in the state of Florida. But on the night after the voting and the result of the provisional count, Al Gore, who had a great chance to contest the election results, immediately delivered a speech recognizing George W. Bush's victory. What happened to the United States election and the chaos caused by Donald Trump's claims is indeed an internal U.S. affair. For other countries, what is expected is a change in U.S. policy in Joe Biden's future government. The trade war between the United States and China and Washington, deteriorating relations with the European Union and NATO, are expected to change in the Joe Biden era. The European Union positively welcomes the election of Biden. French President Emmanuel Macron hopes that with the election results, the United States will return to the Paris Climate Agreement left by Donald Trump. Iranian leaders in Tehran hopes that Biden will also change his views and policies of Iran. What still hasn't said anything is China. Even though in the Trump era, the country often clashed with the United States over various matters, from the trade war to the South China Sea issues. It remains to be seen whether the selection of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will change the escalation of tensions in global economic and political relations. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, we meet again in Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. We start from a story of the beginning of Linggarjati negotiations on November 11, 1946. The Linggarjati negotiation is a negotiation between Indonesia and the Netherlands in Linggarjati, West Java, which resulted in agreement regarding the status of Indonesian independence. On October 7, 1946, at the British Consulate General in Jakarta, the Indonesian-Dutch negotiations were opened, led by Lord Kilyaren. This negotiation resulted in a ceasefire agreement on October 14 and opened up opportunities for negotiations in Linggarjati, which began on November 11, 1946. The negotiations resulted 17 articles, including: the Netherlands recognizes de facto the territory of the Republic of Indonesia, namely Java, Sumatra, and Madura. The Netherlands must leave the territory of the Republic of Indonesia at the latest on January 1, 1949. And the Netherlands and Indonesian agreed to form the United States of Indonesia race. Next turn to a history on November 11, 2000, was Kaprun disaster in Austria. The Kaprun disaster was a train fire in a tunnel in Kaprun, Austria, which occurred on November 11, 2000. The fire killed 155 people. Most of the victims were skiers on their way to the Kitzsteinhorn Glacier. 161 passengers and one conductor board the funicular for the morning journey up and down the 3,300 meters or 10,800 feet tunnel. The electric heater in the cabin at the lower end of the train caught fire due to a design error, which caused the unit to overheat and resulted the fire. We end with an event of the opening of the 26th Southeast Asian Games, or SEA Games, on November 11, 2011. The Southeast Asian Games, or SEA Games 26, 2011, was opened on November 11 and ended on November 22, 2011. The 26th SEA Games were held in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra, competing 44 sport and competing for 542 gold medals. Jakarta has held the SEA Games three times, namely in 1979, 1987, and 1997. The overall winner of the SEA Games 2011 was the host, Indonesia. Palembang was chosen to be the main host for the 26th SEA Games based on the decision of President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, who assessed that Palembang was the most vibrant city with the readiness of its sport arena facilities. There was today in history.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Agriculture Ministry maintains 11 commodities to guarantee food security amid the crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. That was stated by Agriculture Minister Syahrul Yasin Limpo in a webinar themed Indonesian Food Security and Self-Sufficiency in 2045 in relations with human resource quality, organized by the National Population and Family Planning Agency in Jakarta on Monday. The 11 commodities include rice, corn, shallot, garlic, chili, cayenne pepper, beef, kara beef, purebred chicken meat, sugar, and cooking oil. Syahrul Yasin Limpo predicted that food security in Indonesia will be safe until December 2020 because the 11 commodities had been secured. Besides maintaining the availability of the 11 main food commodities, the Agriculture Ministry also maintains the import substitutes such as garlic and beef. Not only until 2020, the Agriculture Ministry also attempts to guarantee food supply until the next 2 years to face the crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Meanwhile, the Agriculture Ministry took some steps to maintain the availability, namely by expanding the planting for corn and shallot. The Agriculture Ministry also tried to increase production of sugar, beef, and garlic. They also made local food diversification such as cassava, corn, banana, potato, and sorghum, besides utilizing yard and marginal lands through the Sustainable Food Gardening or P2AL program and urban farming. Syahrul Yasin Limpo said many celebrities or high officials are planting food in their garden. Further, the government also made food estates in national, provincial, regency, and even village level that are expected to guarantee people food supply, besides also developing milling strategy command and price stabilization. And listener, that was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Karanghawu Beach. Stay tuned. The charm of hollow rocks with a unique, natural, and beautiful beach should be visited when you want to enjoy vacation to Sukabumi, West Java. Karanghawu Beach, which is located in Sukabumi, has a unique, exotic, and natural beauty. This beach is one of the famous beaches in Sukabumi, with the distinctive beauty of cliffs jutting into the sea. In addition, this beach has a mystical history that has been well known and recognized by the local residents. If you come to have a holidays in this location, you will be presented with a beautiful view, which is a soft stretch of sand with brownish colors, cool air, and big waves that hit the cliffs. All of those add to the charms of the beauty of this Karanghawu Beach. According to the story of the local people, this beach is named Karanghawu because there are holes in the cliffs or rocks so that it will look like a stove. Hawu, which in Sundanese means stove, so this beach is named Karanghawu. In addition, this beach is also famous for its myth, in which it is said that the cliff that jutted into the sea is Nyai Roro Kidul's throne, the ruler of the South Sea. The length of this coastline reaches 4 kilometers. If you are at the top of the hill, you can enjoy a clear view of Karang Hawu Beach. The view of the high seas until the big waves hitting the rocks is a very beautiful scenery here. Uniquely, in this location, there is a simple bridge, which was made by a bamboo, so you can take a walk through the flow of seawater to another end of the reef. Taking a walk along the beach with the occasional play with the crashing waves or even sitting relaxedly while enjoying the waves and sunshine is a fun activity on this beach. Even though the waves on this beach are quite large, don't worry, because on the sandy side, the waves are getting smaller gradually. If you like surfing, you can try it at this location. If you do not bring your own surfing equipment, this area also provides surfing equipment rental. This beach is located in Cikakak Village, Cisolok District, Sukabumi Regency, West Java, and is close to the tourism area of Pelabuhan Ratu, approximately 16 kilometers from Pelabuhan Ratu Fish Market. Access to this location is quite easy, because you can use public or private transportation. If you use public transportation, you can take a bus or public transportation from Pelabuhan Ratu Terminal around 20 minutes. If you use a private vehicle, you can adjust the public transportation route to this location. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Nika Kusumati. I'll see you.
Beri sepi tiada berteman. Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo choku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس COVID-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني
رانج جنشوي بيتاي كوجو يفانشي سين سين قوان جوان بيندو فييان دا جوانبو ودا كوجو باوهوني ودا كوجو باوهو
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Ada yang bisa saya bantu? In English, can I help you? Listen to this conversation about ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means, can I help you? Kevin wants to help the boarding housekeeper plant sunflowers in the boarding house yard.
Bisa saya bantu, Pak?
Oh, bisa, Mas. Kebetulan, saya sedang menanam bunga matahari. Tolong masukkan tanah ke dalam pot, ya.
Baik, Pak. Senang bisa membantu.
Terima kasih, ya.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'm going to say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Bisa saya bantu? Which means, can I help you? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Which means, can I help you? Boleh saya bantu? Which means, may I help you? Tolong? Please help. Senang bisa membantu? Which means, I'm glad to help you. If you want to offer assistance to others, you can use sentences bisa saya bantu, ada yang bisa saya bantu, in English, can I help you? Or boleh saya bantu, in English, May I help you? These sentences are commonly used in formal or informal situations. To respond to the sentence, Bisa saya bantu? You can use the word bisa in English, sure, to receive the help. But if you refuse the help, you can say tidak terima kasih. In English, no thank you. Let's follow the examples. Kevin, bisa saya bantu, Pak? In English, can I help you, Pak? Boarding housekeeper, oh bisa, Mas. Kebetulan saya sedang menanam bunga matahari. Tolong masukkan tanah ke dalam pot ya, Mas. In English, sure, I'm planting sunflowers. Can you or please put the soil into the pot? In addition to those expressions in Indonesian language, you also can use the expression butuh bantuan. In English, do you need help? To offer help to familiar people, friends, or younger persons. The word bisa or can and boleh or may are more polite than the word butuh or need, so that the use of expression bisa saya bantu or can I help you is often used than the expression butuh bantuan, which means do you need help? Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Bisa saya bantu, Pak?
Oh, bisa, Mas. Kebetulan saya sedang menanam bunga matahari. Tolong masukkan tanah ke dalam pot ya.
Baik, Pak. Senang bisa membantu.
Terima kasih ya.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I present a song from West Sumatra entitled Tak Tun Tuang. The song Tak Tun Tuang was popularized by Upia, an activator of Minang songs and cultures. The song was released in 2016 and also viral, not only in the country, but also in Malaysia and Thailand in 2017. Many netizens from Malaysia and Thailand were familiar with the song Tak Tun Tuang. The words Tak Tun Tuang do not have special meaning. It is only the typical sound of drum rhythm of Minang regional music, while the lyrics contain a message to love ourselves with the way we are. Even though other people may think bad of us, we are still happy as long as we don't disturb others. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Tak Tun Tuang, sung by Upia. Happy listening.
Apalagi kalau sudah mati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.